You're listening to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joey Leah. Yesterday's publication in the Lancet Infectious Diseases of an account from China about the emergence of a dangerous new antibiotic resistance factor was accompanied by a helpful commentary putting it all into perspective. One of the authors of that commentary is our guest today, Dr. David Patterson of the University of Queensland's Centre for Clinical Research in Brisbane, Australia, has kindly agreed to talk with us across the 15-hour time difference, meaning he's given up his evening to talk with us in the early morning. Welcome, Dr. Patterson.
Thank you so much.
Give us, if you will, a perspective for non-molecular biologists of the findings from China.
Absolutely. So now that we've got problems with antibiotic resistance, particularly our gram-negative organisms, our go-to antibiotic when we've got extensive degrees of antibiotic resistance is colistin.
Mm-hmm.
So this or a similar drug, polymyxin B, are what we're using in intensive care units and sometimes hematology oncology units when we've got carbapenem resistance, so basically where we've got nowhere else to go. So what's really dramatic about this particular article is that they're feeding this last line of resort antibiotic to chickens and to pigs. Basically, it's put in as a premix into animal feed, and tons of it are being used in China and also other parts of Asia. And then what these authors found is that, not surprisingly, the E. coli in these animals is now colistin resistant. And when they went to markets and bought chicken or pork, they found that there was E. coli on that meat that was also colistin resistant. And finally, when they cultured patients in China, it was also colistin resistant. But what was interesting is that each of those different entities, whether it was from the animal or whether it was from the human, all of them had exactly the same mechanism of colistin resistance. And what is sort of most worrying to us as ID people is that it's now plasmid mediated. Now, what does that mean? Plasmids are these little circular pieces of DNA that go from bacteria to bacteria during this sort of primitive bacterial sex that goes on. And what these authors found is that this gene on this plasmid was very happy to go from E. coli to Klebsiella, from E. coli to Pseudomonas, and it stayed there in these host bacteria. So basically we've seen an example of a problem fed by the, really I have to say, the misuse of antibiotics in agriculture, and subsequently we've got a big problem in humans because now we're losing this end-of-the-road antibiotic, and we're going to lose it more and more rapidly because it's plasmid-mediated.
And what human infections, Dr. Patterson, are likely to be affected by the resistance to polymyxins? I think in the article they talk about the enterobacteria, and you mentioned Klebsiella and Pseudomonas. So,
yeah. So, my guess is that for us as clinicians in 2015 or 2016, it's not going to be healthy individuals who happen to have travelled to China or Southeast Asia who are going to be the people who are going to be sick from this. Surely some people who go overseas are going to get colonized with it, and it's just going to sit in the gut doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the risk to us is when we get patients transferred internationally from one hospital, perhaps in Asia, to our hospitals, whether it be United States or Europe or Australia, we're going to have some of those patients who have been colonized with this colistin-resistant organism. And then when they get their ventilator-associated pneumonia, when they get their catheter-related urinary tract infection, when they get their peritonitis, what we're going to find is that that's when we'll start to be seeing the colistin-resistant organisms, and that's when we're going to be in big trouble. Because while we do now have a couple of new antibiotics that have just been FDA approved in the last 12 months. Many times the extra mechanisms of resistance in strains of Asian origin are actually going to be resistant even to those new antibiotics. So we could end up seeing completely untreatable bacterial infections.
You say in the editorial that we may be in the position, unfortunately, of having to tell patients, I'm quoting, "Sorry, there's nothing I can do to cure your infection." That's a pretty shocking outcome of all this.
It really is, and it sort of takes me back. I had a patient recently who showed me a letter that her father had written in 1943. And he had written this to the commander of a U.S. Army base in Australia during the Second World War. And at that time, civilians didn't have access to penicillin. And so he'd been to the local hospital where his daughter was, critically ill with a bacterial infection. And that said to him, "Sorry, there's nothing we can do," because they didn't have any antibiotics, they didn't have penicillin.
Yeah.
And of course he was able to get from the U.S. Army penicillin, and this lady is alive today and was cured. But this is going to be the post-antibiotic era where we have to say to the relatives of our patients who are critically ill, or the patients themselves if they're in a transplant or hem-onc unit, "I'm sorry, the bacteria that you have is resistant absolutely to everything." And we actually know that there's data of bacteremic patients who have colistin resistance that their mortality is 50%. And they're not great odds for us in modern medicine.
Is the solution to the problem more politically and economically based than clinically? The authors of the study say that the European Union and North America will collectively import more than 1,000 tons of colistin, mostly for use in agriculture. And you call on, your editorial calls on Chinese leaders, China being the largest producer of colistin, to limit the use of the colistin in agriculture. There are some very powerful economic interests at work here. How do you measure the chances?
Exactly, and we as clinicians are in a tight situation because, in every hospital we now have antibiotic stewardship programs, and they are very appropriate. It is appropriate that we're not using colistin or polymyxin B or meropenem inappropriately in our hospitals. But this issue of literally tons of an antibiotic being used in agriculture, it is a huge economic issue because obviously the farmers demand it. There's obviously a lot of money to be made by its manufacture. And that's why in this situation where it's currently confined to China, we felt that a political environment such as exists in China, perhaps the message really has to come from the top down, that there has to be now political will to see that this is a potentially enormous public health problem, and that therefore we've really got to get the leaders of the Chinese government making a statement that this particular antibiotic should not be used in agriculture, and certainly it shouldn't be exported either to other countries for use in agriculture, because already there's indications that in Malaysia, in Laos, other countries in Southeast Asia, that this resistance mechanism may well have already been out there for some time. So it's a complicated scenario. We've got to keep doing our stewardship in our own hospitals. It was interesting that the World Economic Forum a couple of years ago now said that antibiotic resistance ranks alongside terrorism and global climate change as the three major threats to the way we live our life in modern Western society. So the message is starting to get some traction, and I think this particular article from China should really ramp up that political reaction.
What can clinicians do in the meantime? What might they be on the lookout for? I mean, right now there are fewer than 20 human cases, I think, of colistin-resistant infections. That number, I guess you would say, will grow.
So basically, there has been colistin resistance found before this particular article, and it was always what we call a chromosomally encoded mechanism. It's something that was really a direct result of colistin use in a hospital, and then there was patient-to-patient spread of colistin resistance.
I see.
This particular article, you know, shows this new plasmid-mediated form of colistin resistance, which means it's going to sort of rapidly accelerate in its prevalence around the populations around the world. So I think what we as clinicians need to do is we've got to expect that not every patient who is treated with colistin is going to have a positive outcome. We've got to make sure that we do have our laboratories doing appropriate methods for colistin susceptibility testing. We've also got to recognize that particularly high-risk patient, and that is the person who's having an international hospital transfer. So, you know, they've been a tourist overseas, have run into an accident, have ended up into an ICU in this situation, somewhere in Asia, most likely, and then is repatriated. We have to be proactive with these people, have them in contact isolation, do appropriate screening swabs to see whether, in fact, they do have colistin resistance on arrival in our particular hospital. Because the worst thing that could happen for us is that we get unsuspected importation of this resistance mechanism, and then it spreads like wildfire in our hospitals. So I think we've got to be this article is sort of a wake-up call to us, not just on the stewardship side, but also on the infection control side, that we've got to really beware of the importation of these particularly nasty antibiotic resistance mechanisms.
Well, as you write in the editorial, the implications of this finding are enormous. Dr. Patterson, I want to thank you very much for staying up late to talk with me today.
My pleasure, and I hope it's of use to clinicians wherever this podcast is heard. Thanks very much.
That was Clinical Conversations number 190. We hope you enjoy these forays into the newest findings in medicine and whatever else we can get clinicians to talk with us about. Thanks to Kristen Kelly for being my executive producer, and to the fine editors at Physicians First Watch, Amy Herman and Kelly Young, for keeping their eyes out for interesting topics. We all come to you through the NEJM group. Thank you for listening.